Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We appreciate it so very much. We're going to bring back some things from the past. What would you bring back if you had the chance? Stand by for that. First, a word from our sponsors. That includes our friends over at The Magic for Less Travel. Work with the experts. Work with a platinum earmarked agency such as The Magic for Less Travel for that next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, or even Adventures by Disney Vacation. They have the agents with the know-how and the desire to make you number one. They're going to get you in the best possible package or room-only reservation. Search for those discounts. Make sure you're paying the least amount of money. But most importantly, they're going to help you have the most magical Disney vacation ever. So check them out today. Drop by themagicforless.com. While you're there, fill out that free, no obligation quote. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast, and we're going to be planning a great Disney adventure. Check them out today. They're over at themagicforless.com. Today's show also brought to you by our Amazon affiliate link over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. You want to support the Be Our Guest podcast without spending any extra money? You can do it very easily by bookmarking BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon for all of your online holiday shopping. Amazon hooks us up with a little bit of extra affiliate money there when you purchase through our link. It costs you nothing extra. You get all of your Amazon Prime benefits. It's a win-win for everybody, and we really appreciate it when you support the show that way. Thanks to everybody who has done that so far. We can't thank you enough. Again, when you're doing your online shopping this holiday season, please use our Amazon affiliate link at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1248 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Friday to you and happy Veterans Day weekend to all those who served out in our audience. I know we have quite a few active military and veterans out there in the audience. You guys are the heroes among us. Thanks for sacrificing for the greater good, for protecting the greatest country in the world, and for serving all of us. We truly appreciate that. We can't thank you enough. So again, enjoy the weekend, and thank you so much for your service from all of us here on the show. Joining me today to talk a little, you know, reminiscing, and I should play some Little River Band here for Scott. I know we're a big fan of that group, and that's a great song. Boy, every time it comes on, got to share it on Apple Music. But we're going to have a good time talking about celebrations, attractions, shows, parades, all that stuff from Disney past. What we miss. Joining me today, we have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less, which he's probably working on right now. What's up, Ricky? I heard you typing.
No.
Exactly.
I'm not multitasking, I promise. Everybody wonders how I do everything that I do. A lot of times I always get questions of how do you do it all? And I'm like, I have no idea. I can multitask a lot. So
see, I try not to multitask while I'm doing the show, and like my fingers are like itching to like, you know, it's like I feel like I have this guilty conscience, like, man, you're only doing one thing, you know, because all day I'm kind of doing the same thing. It's ridiculous.
Most of the time I try to be good when I'm on the podcast, but occasionally, like if I was working on something earlier in the day, which I was today, and I hadn't gotten the chance to finish it, I'll try to finish it up while I'm doing this. So, yeah, multitasking, that's my big thing that I do.
You know what? Give us 30 minutes and we'll give you the world. I'm just saying.
That's right.
No, that was something. Yeah. That was another show a long time ago. Anyway, also joining us, we have Tanner than the rest of us because she was out on a cruise here this past week and having a good time down in the the Caribbean and Walt Disney World. We have Pam Forster, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. What's up, Pam?
I am tan again. We spent a lot of time in the sun, so it was fantastic. And I'm not good at multitasking. If I try to do something else while we're recording, I end up sounding like an idiot. So
I did not say that that wasn't something that I've done before where I completely sound like an idiot. It's just, or there are times when I have to go, yeah, Mike, what I don't know what you asked. So
that's it. Not that other shows do the same thing. So, we're just blending in. Okay. So Pam, I have a serious question for you. Okay. So here we go. So I was thinking about
I'll try to be serious.
Okay, good. Cause I think about the weirdest things sometimes. So you just went on this cruise and went to Walt Disney World and came back. So what is it like to come back to Pennsylvania, not only like the time that the time changes and it gets dark like at 2:15 in the afternoon now, and it's like dark for 23 hours of the day, and I saw on the weather today that it was snowing in parts of Pennsylvania already. So is it advised to travel where you come home the weekend of daylight savings time ending? Because that would be depressing, I think.
It's a little overwhelming, I will say. Anna and I had to run out to the grocery store, and as we are, it's like doing this little rainy sleet thing, and, you know, it's freezing. And I was like, you know, yesterday I was like hot. Like I was like very hot. And the day before that I was laying out in the sun all day. I mean, it's just, it is kind of crazy. But we did get an extra hour of vacation time. True. Because we fell back. So I felt good about that. I will just say Royal Caribbean gave us an extra hour of vacation time with that space. So loved having that opportunity, but it's a little bit of an adjustment, as they say. So.
Yep. And I forgot to say on Wednesday, we're so proud of the Lizards running the Wine and Dine Half Marathon. Speaking of an extra hour, boy, they planned that just right, because that was the night before the half. So you got the extra hour of sleep, basically like starting the race at noon. You know, you got to sleep somewhere. No, just kidding. I know. But you guys did great. The costumes were awesome. The folks who ran in costume, lots of first-time Run Disney participants on the Lizards. I got to see those pictures. Thank you so much for sharing those on our Facebook group for the Lizards. It's Be Our Guest Lizards. You guys, I couldn't make it this year. It was Paige's 21st birthday party weekend, and obviously had to be there for those festivities. Won't unsee some of that stuff, but that was weird. drinking with your daughter and going to the casino. I'm just saying, much rather been at Walt Disney World running the race, but I'm just saying, you got to do the dadly duties, you know? So anyway, thanks so much for letting me be a part of that via social media. Also, huge shout out to the folks out of Disneyland this weekend that are running the Avengers. I'm going to make it for that next Disneyland. It's what happens when you procrastinate.
So Mike
it goes
just
away.
Lost his excuse to go to Disneyland.
That's it. Yeah, anyway.
So that's a thing.
So remember, buy all the merchandise you can. It'll be worth a fortune on eBay by Monday. So exactly. Do what you got to do. But have some fun races out there. And again, share hashtag RunBOGP on the social media. I want to cheer you on from here in the middle of America. But today we're going to have some fun talking about Walt Disney World and some of the great stuff that has happened over the past years. I was thinking about this on my run the other day, listening to some other shows. I just listened to the 3028 with Kevin and Matt the other day, and they were talking, you know, finishing up their series on Epcot 35 and kind of walking through the history of Epcot. And I was thinking about, you know, some of the things from the past that I wish Disney could pull out and, you know, try again and bring back, because I think that it's, for a lot of people get into the game late. Like I got into the game late, never got to do Horizons. There's so many things I didn't get to do, but I've got to experience kind of third hand through social media, through videos, stuff like that. But there's so much I would, you know, and even things I got to experience, I'd like to maybe do again. And that'd be a great introduction to people who didn't get to experience those things to maybe get to see it for the first time. So I thought we might kind of dive in and give three things each, or, you know, just talk here for about 30, 40 minutes about things we wish Disney would bring back. If we had our choice to dive into that closet of all promotions Disney used to have and attractions and parades and shows and restaurants, all the things that Disney has put away, you know, and gotten rid of, what would you pull back out of that closet for a limited time run to experience again, maybe for 1 year, I would say. So I'm going to kick it off with my one thing, you know, if I could pull it out. And I love this. I don't know why this is so high on my list. Well, I kind of do, but it was the Year of a Million Dreams promotion. 100% absolutely love this idea. I thought it was so fun. I remember because Paige was young then. She was probably about Mallory's age then, maybe 10 or so, maybe a little bit older than Mallory. But those trips we took during that year, the two trips we took, we had so much fun. Like, it was like you were constantly in a state of like looking around, like, okay, what we call them the Dreamers. Okay, so there was these cast members, the Dream Team. I don't know if that was officially their names, but they had like light blue shirts, slacks, and like a attaché case, like a one of the what they're called. They're kind of like laptop cases that they carried around. In those, I guess they had the prizes. But apparently, the way this worked, and this is, as I recall, is that some kind of computer came up with a random algorithm that said, okay, so at 1:13 p.m. on Tuesday, the seventh person to come out after 1:13 out of the Haunted Mansion, they get a prize. Or, you know, the seventh or the 20th person gets something. I guess it was totally random the way these prizes were awarded. And the funniest thing was, I just remember, like...
Yeah, think it's funny because it happened to you, not me.
I got my Fast Pass right here that I never used. my dream Fast Pass. But it was, you know, it's a great souvenir. I'm just saying, because like it was like 7 through 12 and you were like 13 getting off Peter Pan. I still remember that.
I was right behind you and I didn't get it once.
That was awesome.
So mad.
It was the day really... It was my last attraction of the trip. But so anyway, though, I just loved it because it was like heightened. Like you were just always looking around. Like you would see him like, oh, Dreamers. I wonder if we're going to get something. Like, so you'd hop in that queue. Like, it never happened. Like, you couldn't force it to happen. Like, you try because you would see people walking around with, like, the Year of a Million Years Mickey ears and, you know, the Dream Fast Passes and stuff like that. It was just like, even if you didn't win, I think it brought an energy to the park that day that I might win something big. I may win DVC like Mike did. You see him on social media. You know, I may win, the trip around the world, you know, and get to see all the parks. I may win... you know, something smaller than that, but it didn't matter. You know, Paige got to go up in the control booth of Small World and got to control the attraction there, just basically waved to people and got a certificate. You know, it's stuff like that that I remember. I wish they would bring that back. Pam, I mean, do you remember that? Is that one of your favorite promotions or is it not?
It was a very cool promotion. I think the thing, it's like, you know, I think what people who really enjoy gambling, that's the high they get from it, right? It's just kind of the luck of the draw. And then to get that excitement, it's like intermittent reinforcement, which, I mean, you know, is...
Is that what it is? I mean, maybe maybe I have restless leg syndrome and I'm, you know, medicating. I don't know.
Think about it. So something that is reinforced intermittently, that is actually stronger than something that is... reinforced every time you do it, because you always think, well, next time it'll happen, or maybe next time it'll happen. If you're used to constantly getting reinforced for something again and again and again, then you're, you know, if it doesn't happen once, then you're like, oh my gosh, it's never going to happen again. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. So, I mean, that's a strong thing. I think that you got to see people doing it. You got to see people win, right?
Yeah. And that it was exciting. Huge. I mean, even if you didn't win, it was fun.
I got to see people win right in front of me.
Yeah.
You were excited for those people.
No, I wasn't excited. I was mad.
And then, you know, you just were part of the celebration. So, just appreciated that. I think that's a cool thing to be a part of that. Plus, any celebration at Disney is always a fun thing. And I think that was, it just really kind of led to that thrilling part of it. It was a celebration and it lasted certainly 18 months, not longer. Yes. Right.
It was either the 2 years of a million dreams or the year of 2 million dreams. It went forever,
right.
But it was
something
cool.
Like that. Yeah. So, I mean, I think it was a fun time in Disney's history for sure.
Yeah. Now I'm worried because Paige was like hooked on it. Like she'd be stalking those people and now she's 21 and can gamble. Oh man, we're in big trouble. I didn't connect the dots. Look out. I better send her a text right now. All right, Ricky. So that's mine. Year of a Million Dreams. What's something you would pull out of the old closet to bring back?
I mean, is there any doubt of my first answer? It's going to be the Adventurers Club. And hello, Disney, you totally pulled it out this past weekend with the Wine and Dine Half Marathon in a small sense. Not the same, but when I saw that the Adventurers Club, some of the characters were on the race course, I was like, you have got to be kidding me. Of course, I'm not running this race because, you know, like... come on. And then they were at the stupid like after party and they were up on stage and I was doing, you know, performances and it's just like, oh, come on, you know. So like they know that it's a thing. Come on, Disney, you can actually officially pull this out of your hat again and put it back somewhere in the parks in Disney Springs. It's got some pull to it. Obviously you notice that, you know. It was just the whole atmosphere for those who didn't go to the Adventurers Club. What it was basically it was a.
Yeah, what was it? That's my thing.
It was a scripted yet improvised experience. So what you did, it was like it was a bar And you could go in, you could grab a drink. They would have kind of these shows in the main salon area that would then lead you into the, you know, the area where they would have an actual show. And so you could take your drink in there and watch the show, but then you got kicked out after that show was over and you had to go back in the main salon area. And then, you know, you had to try to get into the next show if you really wanted to see the next one. So they had like various different shows throughout the night. And like I said, it was scripted, but it was improv all at once. So they had things that they had to do to move the story along each night. But then obviously there were different things that they could throw in. And one of the things, like, Brian always hated it because at the time, like, he didn't like that kind of situation. So when Brian was wearing a NASCAR hat one day, and it was a Cheerios NASCAR hat, and they made fun of him for wearing a Cheerios hat. And that's the kind of thing that they would do. They would take pieces of what, you know, was going on in the audience, that kind of thing, and bring it into the fold. So it was a very interesting and unique experience in that regard. And it's unlike anything that really Disney has now. I don't think that they would, even if they brought it back, they would never bring it back in the sense that it was at one time, because it was just something so unique. And if you are ever curious as to what the Adventurers Club was about, I do have a YouTube page. It's a terrible YouTube page. Don't ever like really look at my YouTube page, but I do have a YouTube page that has, I was there, the last week of the Adventurers Club, and I got video, of some of the final performances of some of the characters. So if you want to see kind of what the club was actually about, find my YouTube page. Again, it's hideous. Please don't judge me on my YouTube page. But that's the only place that I knew that I could put those videos up so that they would be able to be up for somewhere. So they're there, and I was there the last week, a couple of nights. So, and this is before iPhones and, you know, that type of thing. So I had my actual camera. So, you know, I had to like be very cautious of how much time I was recording things for, you know, back in the day. So, you know, there it is broken up into little bitty snippets and stuff like that because of that fact. But I was retweeted by Joe Rohde, by the way, when I shared that I had that YouTube page, which is kind of cool. So.
Sweet. The thing about Adventurers Club that I will say, and I enjoyed it, but I was, and I think a lot of people maybe, I don't know, maybe it's just folks from the Midwest, maybe people like from like New York City, kind of knew more of what they were going. Like, first of all, I didn't go to bars back then. You know, I was not a bar person. I was never in a place where you bought drinks. I was, you know, pretty tame back then, you know. But the thing was, like,
well,
I didn't know what to do in there. Like, I mean, you went in and you hung out. Okay, so.
Yes.
But, and then, you know, maybe somebody that you don't know if they're an actor or not, like, would come up and, like, talk to you.
Oh, no, you know,
like,
if they were actors.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it was just like, you know, it wasn't like you went in, but you didn't go in and sit down and see a show. Like, it was weird. You had to, like, mingle. You had to, like, hang out. You had to just mill about. And it was such a weird, I mean, it was a cool show. I saw it many times, but it was just very different. Like, I just didn't know, like, what my role was. Like, am I supposed to see more than one show? Am I supposed to hang out here? Am I supposed to do this? I didn't know what my role was in the bigger picture a lot of the time.
I understand that, and I can get that. I think that for someone like me who's a theater nerd, the Adventurers Club was just the pinnacle of everything because, like, here you were seeing, like, this show, scripted sort of show, but then they had improv thrown in. And, you know, just as a theater nerd myself, like, it was just – it was so awesome. And I don't know if, you know, maybe you really had to be that kind of person to really enjoy the Adventurers Club, but it was just, I don't know. There was just something magical about it if you got it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you got it, it was a magical experience. And, you know, maybe I'm overselling it a little bit because it's been, you know, 10 years, but oh God, it's been 10 years. And I only went the last few years, you know, so I didn't get it. You know, obviously it's heyday because I wasn't 21 at the time. But, you know, once I hit 21 and was able to go in there, it was awesome. So.
They could totally bring this back at Animal Kingdom. I mean, if they wanted to, it would fit. So
it would fit so well. I mean, I would even accept the little type of show that they did on the Morocco stage. Like, if they wanted to do that on a stage at Animal Kingdom, okay. You know, at least it's something, but. You know you can do it, Disney. Come on, bring
absolutely.
It back.
All right, Pam, pull out something else. We're probably not going to get to three each. We'll have to, you know, table this and talk about it here in the future. But give us something you would pull out, because I like the Adventurers Club because that was something so uniquely Disney. So what are you going to pull out?
So mine is actually a 2-for-1. And it came up really as I was there just recently, because I started really reminiscing about these things. And these are the Osborne lights and the winter lights that were at Epcot. So first of all, my family is huge into the holidays. We love everything about it. I actually like to have my trees up but not decorated before Thanksgiving, along with a bunch of the other things. I have multiple trees throughout the house. Each one is themed to a different, you know, has a different theme. And then we have a main tree that just has ornaments that we've collected all over the place. But I just love the whole season. I think it brings out the best in people for the most part. Although on Black Friday, I'm sure that won't be the case. But with all the other things associated with it, just the times with family and friends and getting to do all those things. So this is why, you know, for many years, these were some of the things that are just such a big part of my holiday memories, because we would go down between Christmas and New Year's almost every year. And winter lights, if you never had the opportunity to see it, was really just an archway of lights that really extended down this walkway. And they set it to music. It was actually one of the first sort of its kind, where they kind of set the lights to music. It kind of coordinated and was choreographed, if you will, to the music there. And just the fact that you could not only see this, but you could be underneath it and almost enclosed by it in Epcot. It was just a really, really cool thing. And I was kind of sad when they took that away. I mean, not, you know, create a website and mount a protest kind of, you know, upset about it, but it was just sad to see it go, because I just have such fond memories of it, but I'll always have the memories. And of course, then the Osborne lights are another thing just like that. I think that that was really such a cool part of Hollywood Studios, and I absolutely understand why it can't, you know, exist as it is. Maybe it will come back in some other form at some point, but it was just, you know, I loved when they added the dancing lights part of it. I loved that they added the snow. They used to give out the glasses so that, you know, you could look through kind of the 3D-like glasses and experience them like that. I think there were just a lot of different parts to it, but I think it just really represented something very cool, because when those lights were on, when people stepped onto, you know, into that space where they could see them, everyone pretty much had the same reaction, and you just kind of stand and stare and look at it, and then you kind of spin around, and then you start looking for all the little hidden things that they have there. But it was just such a cool thing and a very, very touching thing, especially when they brought that nativity scene in. They had the angels. There was such, you know, meaning to that. It was actually one of the most beautiful nativity scenes I had ever seen. And they always did such a fantastic job with it. So it allowed you to kind of, you know, reflect on that, but just the beauty of it and the joy that it brought so many different people. I think it was just tremendous. So I miss those two things. I mean, you know, it's sad they're not there, and I'll always remember them fondly.
Yeah, I saw a face, you know, how you get those memory, you know, posts on Facebook where it comes back to, you know, we were down there a few years back for, I guess, Wine and Dine weekend, and you know, a bunch of us, we had a big meet at the Osborne Lights, and that was the night that Teresa Sheingold gave me Jeff Barnes' book, an autographed copy of Wisdom of Walt. And there's a picture of us in the, you know, the Osborne Lights there, and I'm holding the book and excited. You know, I got my Mizzou jersey on. And it's one of those things that you don't realize how much you, like, in the moment, I didn't realize how special the Osborne Lights were. But, like, when I saw that picture, I'm like, man, if I could just go back in there for one night, that'd be so cool. Because I think the thing about the Osborne Lights is that the holiday season, Christmas, is so sentimental anyway. You know, like, it really draws on your emotions. And I was there with the people I loved, you know, so many of my great friends, my family. You know, we were just having the time of our lives there and just not worried about going to any other attractions. We're just hanging out, listening to the music, watching the awesome lights, having a great time as friends. And, you know, I just, like, I wanted to step back into that picture, into that exact moment in time. And I think that, you know, that's what the Osborne Lights afforded, because they didn't just play like a Trans-Siberian Orchestra and, you know, that really pumping stuff with the lights dancing, but you would hear the classics, you know, from the 60s, the 50s. It really, I mean, it was multi-generational. It was, It was so amazing. I mean, especially this time of year, Pam, you're really hitting on something hard here because I miss those so much.
I know. I agree. It was just very unique. And when you go to see even the light shows that so many of us have now in our own hometowns, it's not the same as that. It just isn't. It can't be. So.
And what's weird about the lights of winter is now, you know, the kind of the archway with the synchronized lights is that while Epcot got rid of those, you see those everywhere now, like drive-through places. Like we have a place called Tillis Park. I mean, that's exactly what they have. They have them at, you know, Jellystone Park out by Six Flags here. And so, I mean, they're everywhere. And then Disney says, well, the technology, we can't do that
it's
anymore.
Obsolete.
Like, yeah, what? It's what? Obsolete. Are you kidding me?
That's the term I use. The technology was obsolete. That is the worst excuse I've ever heard in my entire life, but okay.
Yeah, but my next door neighbor has it on his driveway, but okay, never mind.
But okay, yeah, that's fine.
Exactly. Whatever. Anyway, so I'm going to give a second one here, and it's one thing that I wouldn't use personally, but I think it would be so cool seeing kids use this, and I think it missed its time by about a decade. Is Pal Mickey. And if you don't know what Pal Mickey is, Google it and watch the videos. Pal Mickey was basically like a Mickey Mouse plush, but he was kind of interactive, like based on GPS, I guess. I didn't have one, but I enjoyed seeing, because you back in the day, not only could you buy a Pal Mickey, this little Mickey Mouse, probably 12-inch plush doll, but you could also, if you couldn't afford to buy him, you could rent one for the day, as I recall. Like you could not only you could rent your plush. And so basically what he did, and he was big on the in-room television, you know, they gave the promo of how to get him and how to use him. But Pal Mickey would be your buddy around the park. And basically what he was a plush doll that was like your My Disney Experience app, you know, a very light version of that app at the time, because he would say, you know, and I didn't have one, but I'm sure he worked with various success, you know, at times. But he would notice, hey, pal, it's 1:45. The parade starts here in 15 minutes, you know, head up to Main Street, you know, or something like that, you know. And it was like he would tell jokes and things like that. I think now with the technology, I don't know, because kids now, you know, that are probably in the age that would get Pal Mickey probably have iPhones now. So they're probably, you know, forget that. I don't want a stupid doll. You know what? I need my phone, you know, so I can play Minecraft and everything else and not ever look up during my vacation, which is a sad state of affairs. But I think that, you know, you could do so much for him now. He could be almost like lifelike, you know, like it could be so real time, and technology has advanced so much over the decade. He would be wicked awesome right now. But I don't know, maybe the kids 10 years ago. You think kids have changed that much in 10 years? I think so, because of technology.
I do too.
Sad. I mean, Ricky, would you pull Pal Mickey out, or was he just an idea at a time and let him sit? You know, forget it, he's scary.
I mean, it's hard because it is one of those things where it's like, well, I don't know if it will work nowadays or not. I mean, it could. I think that it definitely has a place for little ones. I think that the technology is even better now, so that it would be even a better option for kids. So I think bring it out, you know, bring it back. That would be awesome. So I don't think you're crazy about it. I think that's an awesome idea.
I'd like to see what happens. He was out there at the same time that they were testing, because they were using the GPS stuff, and like Wi-Fi was like, you know, it was way before Wi-Fi in the parks, but there was rumors that, you know, certain buildings like in each park had like a Wi-Fi hotspot, because at that same time, if you recall, some guests, if you got lucky, you got a Nintendo DS that had Wi-Fi, and like you could get information right there on that DS. And like, I was dying to get one of those things. I was like, that is the coolest. Like, it had a little, you know, like anti-theft or, you know, kind of system around it, so you didn't take it home with you. Like, you had to sign your life away to get it. But I mean, you know, that was back with like Gowalla. I don't know. I think that here's my question, Pam. Let me ask you this. So technology seemed to be changing at Walt Disney World so much, like in that like 2-year window with Pal Mickey, the Nintendos, the Gowalla, all that stuff. I mean, are we just not seeing it today? Or like, is it because, again, we're reminiscing looking back? And I mean, it's happening right now, but maybe we're too close to it right now to see that it's kind of just a different age and it's happening right before our eyes.
I think that's absolutely what's happening. I mean, I think things change now at an ever increasing pace, that we see new developments in technology. And, you know, the phone is absolutely one of the things that really helped us see that. But those were the precursors leading up to it. And so now that that's so far behind us, we can look back at it and be like, oh my gosh, do you remember when we were excited about this? I mean, I was just thinking about, you know, my first like PDA and my first like phones with the full QWERTY keyboard. And You know, the first like iPods, and before then they had even smaller MP3 players, and then, you know, then there were larger MP3 players, and just, you know, all of that stuff. It's just, looking back on it, you think, oh my gosh. But I think, you know, when we jump another 15, 20 years, we'll do the same. We'll look back on it. And by the way, I still have my pal Mickey. He's downstairs.
Really?
Nice. Yes, I know, right? And he was the one that actually they brought out, I believe, during the 50th celebration, because he had a little tuxedo on. So.
Oh. Oh, I love it.
It might have been even, no, it probably was not. It was probably was below or before the 50th, looking back on it. But anyways, Hannah was young. I remember that. And it was quite a while ago. So I think that when you're in it, you just don't see the jumps until you look back. You need a little mm-hmm. distance before you can see this.
Well, speaking of the previous holiday, Disney could make a great horror movie with Pal Mickey gone wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, that could be totally
yes,
like something.
That's right.
Because like, as much as I think Pal Mickey's cool, like, if I had one in my house and like he was downstairs and all of a sudden I heard something moving downstairs, I'd run. Like, I'd be like, I'm out. I don't want to get off by Mickey. Like, he's my boss and all, but I'm, yeah, that freaked me out. So anyway, all right. So Pal Mickey's mine. Ricky, give another thing you pull out of the closet.
You know what? I decided when we were doing this that I was going to pull out some of my old pictures and kind of take a look. And because I have pictures from the past, you know, obviously 12 years or so of going to Walt Disney World. And on my computer saved. And so I was kind of going through just really quickly, to see what has changed. I mean, there have been so many things that have changed over the past 12 years that I've been, you know, doing this as an adult. And, one thing I thought that was kind of interesting that would be so simple for Disney to just pull back out again, and that was back in the day, you used to be able to have a character meal at Liberty Tree Tavern, and you would be able to meet characters dressed in their colonial garb. So, you know, Minnie Mouse would be in colonial garb, and you'd have Chip and Dale there, and Mickey, and it was just such a fun experience getting to do, because, you know, Liberty Tree Tavern is kind of that family style meal, and it seems like the family style meals tend to do well with the whole you know, character meet and greet, because you don't have to get up. You can just stay in your seat and have the characters come to you, just like Pam likes, Pam and Steve. and so it just made it so much more interesting compared to now, where, yeah, the food is great, and I still like to eat at Liberty Tree Tavern, but the show part of it all is gone, and I guess it's probably to try to get people through faster or whatever, but there was really something that was so unique and awesome about having the characters there and dressed in a different way than they would maybe be dressed normally, and maybe it's, again, you know, just because of logistics of one thing or another, but I just really thought that having, you know, a character meal at Liberty Tree Tavern, and especially this type of character meal, was just such a fantastic idea, and I you know, it just sort of went poof, disappeared, and it was gone. And I, you know, I made me kind of sad. I was happy that I got to experience it, you know, at the one point, but, you know, I was sad that they ended up taking it away. So I know it was kind of a random thing, but it was still something so Disney. I don't know.
Yeah, it's one of the best character meals around. I love that. We got to do it too. We always did that one. Actually, back when we were on the dining plan, we always made a point to have that one as one of our character meals. Great food, you know, it's right up our alley, but also, you know, bonus was not only the characters, but also inside Liberty Tree Tavern. It's got a great look to it, a great atmosphere.
Oh, it does.
It's really cool. Now, one of the things I got to say that you mentioned, I want you to think about today. You know, again, I like this kind of walk down memory lane. You mentioned we were talking about Adventurers Club, how you know, used a real camera to, you know, record some footage mm-hmm. and stuff. I mean, think about the change in that over the last 10 years. Like, on my vacations now, like, I will take, in a week, I'll probably take 3,000 to 4,000 pictures. And the thing about that is, I could take as many as I want because I'm backing them up for free to Google, and they're shared with my friends instantly. 10 years ago, you took pictures, you would get home and you would be so excited to share like your best ones with your friends and family. You know, like, I'm going to show you what I did. You know, like, they know within 30, I mean, I'm terrible about this. You guys know how much I share. I overshare. So like, everybody I know knows everything I'm doing within like 30 seconds. It, you know, think about, like, that would blow your mind if you'd have told your 10 years ago self that, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's so crazy.
Yeah, no, it is. Sure. I mean, I, you know, used to take my real camera and, you know, all that. And I would take at one point in the early days of when I was doing this back in 2005, I took an actual video camera with me to Walt Disney World. And it's still one of those stories that I tell of when, because I'm sure a lot of people that listen to the show know I got engaged at Walt Disney World, and I got engaged at Chef Mickey's on Brian and my first trip to Walt Disney World. And at the time, I had a camera and I had a video camera with me. And I gave Brian my camera because they came out and they said, you know, we're going to have a surprise or whatever. Somebody's going to be blindfolded. Ha, it's me. So anyway, but I gave Brian my actual camera, but I came very close to giving him the video camera, which he then would have handed off to somebody else because that's what he did with the actual camera. But I'm curious to see what the video would have looked like if I had handed him the actual video camera. You know what I'm saying? Like, at the time, I didn't even think about it, but because you had both things. But, you know, now I have both on one device, and it's just kind of a crazy thing to think about, you know, of I've gone from taking a video camera and a camera to just taking a phone that I literally have in my hand the entire time I'm there. So
it's so weird, though. I mean, yeah. Because like it's immediate, you know, like everybody knows it, you know, and in a way, I mean, it's great because you get to share with your friends and family, which is always fun. And you get to interact with folks that aren't there. Like, I mean, over Wine and Dine,
you don't have to bore them about, you know, and here's the slideshow of my vacation, too. You know, if they're interested, they can look at it.
That's true. But I mean, you also miss out on that, you know, like when you, I mean, I could imagine though, when you got home, you know, because I mean, your grandparents and stuff would be, you know, kind enough to act like they were interested in your pictures and your experiences. You know, now you get home, you don't have anything to share because, you know, they've already seen it. You know, everybody's seen it. Like, yeah, I know. Like, yeah, I saw your meal. You know, you took 47 pictures of your fried chicken at homecoming. I know.
Right,
you know?
Exactly. I know. I saw them all. Trust me.
Great. Maybe that's a bad thing. The more I think about it, it's a bad thing. All right. So, Pam, we're just going to close us out here. We'll go back to this if people like this. If not, we'll just never do this again. But, you know, I think it's kind of fun just to walk down memory lane and relive some of these great memories.
Yeah, I agree. And one of the things is this next one is all about the memories for me is I was listening to an old background music loop that used to play in the Magic Kingdom and doesn't anymore. And it just made me really kind of homesick almost for that period in time. You know, you can almost, although you don't, I don't know how much you pay attention to it as you're walking through the parks, but I often listen to those once I got home, right? It kind of reminded you of what you just did and the feelings that you had when you were there. And the music, you know, that Disney puts in those background loops, both at the resorts and in the parks, is really, I think they do such a great job pairing that up because you're really, when you hear it, you're kind of transported right there. And I always feel that way. And I think that Disney does this in a way that with all their attention to detail, this is just really part of the big picture, but this is a really meaningful part. And I miss all of the music that used to be and is no longer. And hearing those sounds really, really made me think of that.
Yeah, nothing brings you back like those old tunes, you know, because it could, like, I remember where I was when, you know, when you hear something like that. Okay, so here's so that's what we're going to do for today, but I want to put this as a future show. So here's a question I have, and we're not going to really get into it today, but let's just kind of let this stew, and I want our listeners to think on this too here on a Friday. So, you know, kind of as I was on my run, I thought of this idea. You know, I run early in the morning, 6 o'clock. It's still a little bit dark now, the time change, at least it's a little bit lighter now, but, you know, out there on the roads by myself in the morning, and I get a lot of time to think about crazy stuff like this. Okay, so here's the question I'm going to pose, and we'll do a full show on this and get some feedback from our listeners. Were trips better, like, say, 10 to 12 years ago before everything was known? Okay, so what I'm saying is today you can go on any kind of website or social media and really see, like, if you want to discover, like, what the chicken and donuts looks like at homecoming, you can find 78 pictures of it. You know, say 12
Most
years
ago. Most of them on the mouse for less.
Okay,
too.
I'm just saying. You know, anything, like, you can see an attraction video from every possible angle, you know, on YouTube at this point. Are trips better now because you get to, you know, you know what you're getting yourself into? Or were trips better 12 years ago when the best you could do was maybe, you know, a static picture, maybe a picture out of a guidebook like Berm Bombs or the Unofficial Guide or something like that? I mean, two totally different things, but which one was better, you know, as far as your Disney vacation? Was it better not being able to see what the latest meal looks like or read as many reviews? Because now it's like an information overload. There's really no discovery now, but you also don't waste time now on things that obviously aren't, you know, because back then you just went in blind and a lot of times maybe you didn't get what you were expecting. So you guys think we should do a show on that and kind of talk about the pros and cons of 12 years ago versus today?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
And I'm curious to see what our listeners, you know, have to say. So we'll put this on the Facebook page and get your feedback and add that into that show as well. But next Friday, we're going to talk about Pam's trip because I want to hear about all the good stuff she got to do. But today, you know, as we go over the weekend, here's what I'm going to ask for this weekend. What would you bring back? You know, from, and I think really was, I was thinking about this too, is that it has to do when you really fell in love with the parks, because my things are from that time, you know, like our first trips when Paige was little and I didn't know much about Walt Disney World. Like everything was new. Like I was just eyes wide open with everything that happened. Like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. I didn't know, like I didn't have the history. You know, as I was thinking about the things I want to bring back, it's almost like I want to bring back that time. And I think that has a lot to do with what we pick. So let us know on Facebook.
Also may have something to do with the fact that Paige is 21 now. But,
that could be, yeah, that I'm really, really old now. That's so weird. Uh-huh. But yeah, so let us know on Facebook, facebook.com/BRGuestPodcast. What would you bring back and why? If you want to add a story, we love that stuff. This is a big community. We love having you a part of it. And I want to hear, this thing's warm my heart. So let us know, what would you bring back over on Facebook? All right, don't forget today's show brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. You want to make some new memories. And you know, a lot of times we go back to relive some of those old memories too. And no better place than a Disney destination. Check out themagicforless.com. You can see all the specials for Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, and even Adventures by Disney. And you know what? Make 2018 the year that you plan that next trip and that you're talking about in the year 2028, 2038. You know, remember that time when people used iPhones? Oh, those things are so antiquated. Those suckers, you know, those things were so slow and they only held like 9 bajillion pictures. So weird. But yeah, you can make those plans too. So do it right now. There's great specials out there. You can even get in on that gift of Disney, whatever it's called, where you get the cool Magic Bands, the promotion they have going on.
Oh, really good there, Charlie.
The gift of whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever it is. You got to get on it right away though, because it's going away quickly. So check out all the specials over at themagicforless.com. And also please, you do your holiday shopping, please use our Amazon affiliate link at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It really does help the show. You get all your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra, but it really does help support us. Again, please bookmark it on your desktop computer, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Thank you so very much. Please follow us on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BRGuestMike. And again, drop by the Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, we're going to be back again on Monday with a great trip report. We love sharing those with you as well. It's somebody's chance to share their memories. And that's really what this whole thing's all about. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome weekend. Whatever you do, stay safe and let's beat Tennessee. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.